this morning to the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Now I want to talk to you about charity. Charity. I think all of you know that the word charity is best defined in the word love. When he talks about charity here, he's talking about love. Love. L-O-V-E. Real love. You're not talking about the love that arises from the heart of a human being. You're not talking about that kind of love. You're talking about real love. What real love is. Genuine, 100%. Honest to goodness. Love. What real love is. A lot of talk about charity in this present day. A lot of talk about it. Most of the professors of religion are talking about charity. Talking about love. I want to talk a little bit about it this morning. And I think I got I think I got the right angle on this. I think I'm right here. Let me read a few verses. Verse 1. Follow after charity. You can't much follow after it if you haven't got it. Or if you don't know what it is. You can't follow after it. You can't come back from where you've never been. Can you? Can you come back from where you've never been? No, you can't come back from where you've never been. You can't follow after what you don't know. What you haven't got. So he's talking to some here that know something about what he's talking about when he talks about follow after charity. He said, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy, ye may preach. Preach. Not being prophetic here. That is, predicting the future. There's one fellow on the television, and I was talking to some people here the other day about, I was trying to talk to them about their soul. I was trying to tell them what God has to say about their true condition. But I never could get to that because they wouldn't let me. They threw up roadblocks. Screens, bars that would hinder me. I'd have to hurdle them. I'd have to jump over them and all that to get that where I wanted to go. And I never did get where I wanted to go because they got to talking about religion. They got to talking about a religious personality on the television that they watch. They say, we watch him every evening. We watch him together, my wife and I. And they told me who it was. And I said, well, I'm familiar with him. I don't watch him regularly or anything like that. I know who you're talking about. And they said, well, he really tells it like it is. Said he talks about predictions, prophecy. He talks about what will be, and we're concerned about what will be. Anyhow, he's not talking here when he says prophecy, he's not talking about predictions, where he says that rather that ye may prophesy, but rather ye may be a spokesman, a representative of God, and speak the message of God concerning God's Son. That's what he means when he talks about prophecy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now that's in the 14th chapter. And I want you to turn now to the 13th chapter and the first verse, where he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity. Now listen, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, that's important now, and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, do you know what nothing is? Nothing is nothing. You have all this, but if you have not charity, you have nothing. When God created the world, He created the world out of nothing. When He created the world, there was nothing for Him to create it out of. So He created it out of nothing. And all that we see is that which came from nothing. Now He says, if you speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, you have all understanding of the mysteries, all knowledge, and have all faith, and you could remove mountains, but if you have not charity, I am nothing. Nothing. Alright. I said a lot of people talk about charity in this present day. And most of the professors of religion are talking about charity, talking about love. But it appears to me that the charity in the verse that I read to you is not that charity which natural men speak of. Which natural men speak of. Everybody's talking about charity, talking about love. Love your children, love your families, love the president, love the king, love the queen, love this, love that. Everybody's talking about love. But it appears to me that the charity here in the verse that I've read to you is not that charity which men speak of. The charity that they speak of arises from their own doings. For I believe now the apostle here, the apostle Paul, who's the writer of this book, the apostle completely cuts off any idea as to that. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, that is, a man may have all words and tongues, all gifts, and all abilities, and everything that it's possible to have, but if he have not charity, he doesn't have anything. He's nothing. He's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now listen to me real close. Charity does not consist in flowery speeches or tender words that may come from a man's tongue. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understanding all the mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. What he says here is that a man may have a number of gifts and understand the mysteries of all truth and have all faith. Now notice, he may have all faith. He doesn't say that he may have little faith, but it says he may have all faith. And yet, that man would be eternally lost. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, what am I? Just sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. I might have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries of truth, all knowledge, have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and if I have not charity, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Well, there's a great number of people in this world today, right now. Great number. As a matter of fact, the majority of the peoples in this world, whatever nation, tribe, or tongue, wherever they dwell, live, most of them talk about charity, talk about love, talk about their gifts and their abilities, and they don't have a grain of religion in their hearts, and they are living and they're dying without charity and will be everlasting lost in the end. Most of them. It says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Here's a man, he says, if he gives all his goods, everything that he's got, to relieve the poor, to help the poor, to exercise himself in acts of sympathy to poor and needy people, and even then give his body to be burned, if he have not charity, what does it profit him? Now, by what's said here thus far in the Word of God by the Apostle Paul, being inspired of God, by this I know that charity cannot consist in the performances of men. I know that. I'm convinced of that by what Paul has said. It cannot be that which arises from nature with all of its trappings and adornment. It cannot be the product of flesh and blood. Cannot be. The charity that is on the lips and the tongues of the majority of the people and the professors of religion, that love fails. That love fails. How many people are there in our land today that love one another at one time and then just a few short years, a few short weeks, or a few short months renounce that love and are divided, unjoined, divorced. One go this way and one go that way, and they have no semblance of love or charity in their hearts that they once had. The reason I know that this charity that he's talking about, this love that he's talking about, is not that love which men talk about, which arises from their words, from their doings, is because their love fails. It fails. It's not, there's no durability about it. There's no longevity to it. We think it's a wonderful thing and an amazing thing if a man is married to one woman for 50 years. We celebrate that, don't we? Every time someone that has been married for 50 years, we think it's such a great thing, we have a little party for them. We have a little party and we recognize them and bring them gifts and praise them and thank them and all that for what role models they are, that they've loved one another for 50 years. But even that love fails. Death will sever that love, won't it? Death will take care of that love. We can lose our wife or lose our husband even after 50 years and don't get married again, can't we? Give that love to someone else. Well, I know, brethren, that this charity cannot consist in the performance of men. It cannot be that which arises from nature. It can't be that. And I'll tell you what it is right now. I'm going to tell you flat out what this love, this charity is that he's talking about here this morning. It is nothing more or less than the sovereign, discriminating love and choice of the Holy Trinity fixed upon the elect of God. That's what he's talking about, Bob. That's what he's talking about. That love of God that's fixed upon his people that he chose in himself before time ever was. That's the charity that he's talking about. That's the charity that endures. That's the charity that never faileth. That charity. Sovereign, discriminating love that made the choice. The Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They made a choice. God made a choice. Listen. Ephesians chapter 1. According as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. That's charity. God's sovereign, discriminating choice. He didn't choose everybody. He chose some from Adam's fallen race. And they're called his people. And he's calling out a people for his name here in time. Oh, listen. This charity that I'm talking about is a charity which few men speak well of. Few men speak well of this charity that the Bible speaks of. When people find out what I'm saying, find out that I believe and preach the electing grace of Almighty God, when they find out that I'm preaching and saying that God does not love everybody of Adam's fallen race, they begin to hate me. Down in my little town, the place I live, I bet there's not 10 people will speak well of me. Not that I've ever done any. I've never been an outlaw. I've never misguided their children. I've never stole their money. But why is it that they don't speak well of me? It's not me. They speak against God. They can't get to God, but they can get to me. Because I say that God doesn't love everybody. That's what I say. I say, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. That's what God said. God said He's angry with the wicked every day. I say that this charity, this love, is God's discriminating choice that He made unto Himself before time ever was. And I say few men speak well of it. Church up here one time up the road somewhere, Mannington area, a fella came down here and listened to me, and he went away from here saying, well, I wouldn't go back there. The guy's a hard shell. He's a hard shell. A hard shell is those that believe what will be shall be without any means. I believe what shall be will be. I believe that. But I believe that God uses means. I believe that He uses the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, to bring about the end result. Hard shells don't believe in preaching the gospel. They say what will be shall be without any means. Whatever God's appointed will come to pass. I believe that too. But it'll be through a means. No man will ever go to heaven until he's been confronted by Jesus Christ. No man will ever go to heaven until he believes and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's got to be that. But men, because I say that it's nothing more or less than the sovereign, discriminating love and choice of the Holy Trinity of God fixed upon the elect, I say unto you this morning, it's a charity which few men speak well of. And I'm glad for this family that we speak well of that charity, of that love. Most people have a charity for themselves, a charity for their fellow mortals, a charity for infidels, a charity for everything under the sun. But they have no charity for God's discriminating love or mercy. They have no love for that. And this is a great mercy, brethren. Great and glorious mercy that you and I are not among them. That's a mercy, isn't it? That we're not among them. He called us out from them, and we're not among them. Huh? I once was among them, and would have been unto this day had it not been for charity, had it not been for God's discriminating love and free choice that revealed His Son to my soul. I'd have still been among them. And you would have too. Now, just for a minute, will you look with me at this sovereign, discriminating love and compassion and tenderness of God Almighty in the gift of His Son. In the gift of His Son. His only Son and His beloved Son. His equal. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. His beloved Son is equal, a sovereign free gift, including now all the treasures that ever a God could provide for the salvation of a sinner, the justification of a sinner, the glorification of a sinner, and the deliverance and bringing him home to his blessed family to immortal glory. Think about that for a little bit. This is an act of charity in God the Father that beggars language to describe. You can't describe this. It's beyond description that God so loved that He gave. Who did He love? Did He love every member of Adam's race? If He did, then Christ died for all of them. And then every one of them is going to go to heaven. If He did. But He didn't love. He loved whomsoever believeth on Him. He's the one that hath everlasting life. He that believes on Him. Huh? That's God's love. Oh. Language can't describe it. I certainly can't. It's not within the power of my heart to enter into its depths, its breadth, its length, or its height. It's like an ocean. It's like an ocean that overflows, which overwhelms and makes you to wonder what a marvelous thing it is. Listen to me closely now. The apostle here, the apostle Paul, he could only wonder at it and love it. And he says, thanks. Listen now. He said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That's what he said. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What is His gift of charity? He loved us. Ere we knew Him. Brought us to an understanding of ourselves. We finally heard, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The gift of charity. None of us, nobody here, none of us have ever merited such a gift as this. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying there's none of us here this morning that deserve such a gift as this. We had no merit. Nothing about us, in us, pertaining to us would cause God Almighty to send His Son, to give His Son, to die in our stead and place and room. No merit in us. No merit. None of us have ever merited such a gift as this. What have we merited? What do we deserve? We deserve the bitter torments and the everlasting damnation of God forever. That's what we deserve. That's what's due us. My God, we're not getting what's due us. We're getting this free gift. His love. His charity. charity. Loved us. Ah, listen. But this blessed gift of God the Father to us is an act of God's sovereignty. He didn't have to do it. He had no need of us. What were there about us that could add to His pleasure? God has everything He needs. He said, if I had need of anything, I wouldn't ask you. Gold and silver are mine. Cattle on a thousand hills are mine. If I had need of anything, I wouldn't ask of you. He doesn't need anything. It is a sovereign gift. No merit in us. Listen. This same apostle said there in the 9th or 10th chapter of the book of Romans. He says, if God, spared not His own Son, but giving Him up for us all, how shall He not freely give us all things through Him? God gave Him up, the pure, blameless, Son of God, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, without sin. He gave up the darling of His bosom, who was equal with God, who was God. He gave Him up to be smitten by holy justice and to be the propitiation for our sins. And in this, John said, and in this is manifested the love of God towards us. Charity, love, has nothing to do with merit. It has nothing to do with any merit. It has nothing to do with anything that we have ever done or ever could do. Oh, no. Herein is love, said John. How's that? In that we love God. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See what I'm talking about? He sent His Son to bear our sins, to agonize on the tree for our sins. Is not this an act of charity? If it's not an act of charity, what is it? You know and I know that the best thing we ever done by nature, the very best deed we ever done, is no more in the sight of God than filthy rags. We're destitute, we're beggars, we're poor, poverty-stricken. We've spent all and haven't got nothing to pay. We're hopeless and helpless, and unless God comes where we are, sends His Spirit to lead us into the truth that I'm talking about here this morning, we'll die in our sins. He sent His Son to be our sin bearer. To bear our guilt and our shame, our blasphemies, our ungodly thoughts, our sins, our transgressions. He sent His Son to bear these. to bear the penalty, do these sins that we willfully committed and we justly deserve to be condemned. Oh, is not this an act of charity? Oh, what a blessed gift this is! The gift of His Son is our substitute, our Savior, to save His people from their sins, to save His people, and to bring His people into immortal glory. Nothing could be greater than that. It's an act of charity. It's a blessed gift. And listen, it's a gift that cannot be overthrown. You can't overthrow this gift. Nothing internal, nothing external, and nothing infernal. All the blasphemous thoughts that ever arose in your heart and my heart, and all your wretched unbelief, can't overthrow this love of God, this charity of God toward the recipient of that charity. Nothing can overthrow it. Nothing within or nothing without. Now, if the Holy Spirit of God, if He's pleased to give us a sight of this charity, an understanding of this charity, to see Him completing and perfecting every jot and every tittle of the law, to give us a sight, to see Him bear in His own body what justice required on our behalf, to see Him doing it in our behalf. Holy justice, be satisfied. Holy justice, said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We're all sinners. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you don't know you're a sinner. Well, you're a sinner whether you know it or not. But if you ever find it out, and you'll never find it out until God makes it known to you, and if He makes it known to you, then He'll lead you in to this truth that I'm talking about here this morning. And you'll understand what justice requires out of you, that our Lord Jesus Christ, standing in our stead and place and room as our representative and our substitute, bore in His own person what justice demanded of us. The Son of God Himself performing all of this for us. If we ever see that, it'll break our hearts. Now, this charity that I'm talking about is worth talking about, isn't it? That's worth talking about. The charity that you... What is it? This is Jerry Lewis on the television. And I'm not saying that that's all wrong. I'm not saying anything like that. But he talks about charity. And he gets up there and tells funny jokes and does little dances and has celebrities on there in order to get the people that hear him to manifest what he calls charity towards those who have muscular dystrophy. But this charity that I'm talking about beggars that charity. That charity, right? That's which is a human product which flesh and blood produces. But the charity that I'm talking about is that comes from God. It's an act of charity. Was it not an act of charity on God's part to come and to take our nature into union with His blessed self? Wasn't that charity? God left the heavens. When I'm talking about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saying that Jesus Christ is none other than God Himself. He's God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He and the first person of the Trinity are equal. And God become a man. God left off the riches of glory, became poor. He who was rich became poor for our sakes. Is that not an act of charity? That God become a man, and as a man, made atonement for our sins, established righteousness, magnified and honored the holy law of God, every jot and every tittle of it, become our sin bearer, bore our penalties, suffered our shame and our guilt, came despised and rejected among men, suffered even unto death. Isn't that an act of charity? That's what charity is. That's God's charity. That He should come as a man, be made under the law, and having all of its demands placed to His account, and carry it on to the tree, and stand as our head and surety and bondsman, and have all the wrath that His people deserved, all the wrath that His people merited, poured on His beloved self. Is that not an act of charity? I say it is. This, my friends, is charity. It's charity. This is the charity. Listen to me now. This is the charity that covers a multitude of sin. There's no other charity can cover a multitude of sin like this charity. Covers it. God said, I forgive you freely on the condition of my Son, on the basis of who my Son is and what my Son done. You're freely forgiven of all your sins yesterday, today, and sins to come. And I'll not remember them against you no more. Charity covers a multitude of sins. That's the charity He's talking about here. I'm not talking about that fleshly charity that comes from words of men's tongues. If you have not this charity, if you have not the love of God in your soul, then you're nothing. Profit you nothing. Don't care what you've done. Give your body to be burned. Understand all mysteries. Go to the ends of the earth to feed the poor. Won't get you nowhere if you don't have this charity. Oh, my soul. The longer I live. Yeah. The fellow called me there this morning and said, when are you going to come and preach for us? When are you coming down? Oh, they said the door's open. Come anytime you can come. You don't even have to call. Just come. Come stay a month. I said, well, I'm not getting any younger. And he said, I know it. That's the reason I want you to come. I said, I'm not getting any younger. I said, I can't be around all over the country like I used to. Got to stay at home. I ain't able. Oh, listen. The longer I live, the more I feel that if there was one thing left undone in regard to my salvation, I wouldn't have a ray of hope. If the devil wasn't conquered, if justice wasn't satisfied, if the law was not honored and magnified, if death was not overcome, if every burden was not carried by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, if my every sin was not paid for, I would have not a ray of hope. I'd be undone forever. if there's anything left for me to do to merit heaven, I'd be lost forever. But he undertook the cause of his people whom he foreknew, whom he predestinated. He undertook their cause. And there's not a jot and tittle that he left undone. And so we really and truly from our hearts can sing, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. The durability of this charity. Verse 8 says, charity never faileth. His love never fails. If He set His love upon us, His affections upon us, before time ever was, and chose us, and sent Christ to die for us, that love will never fail. Never fail. Love never... Now listen to what it says. How long will it abide? Well, it says, and now abide faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love. Grace of these charity. Grace of these three gifts is charity. It's the love of God. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us in eternity past and made a covenant. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the messenger of the covenant. He came to fulfill the stipulations of the covenant. In our stead and place and room, bear our sins, clothe us with His righteousness. He's all that. Listen. Now abide faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's love. God's love towards the sinner, towards the poor beggar. Huh? Remember that poor woman? She came to Him. And she began to cry unto Him. She followed Jesus and began to cry unto Him. And the apostles jumped in. They said, send her away. Send her away. She crieth unto us. And she jumped in and she said, Lord, help me, have mercy on me. And the Lord said to her, well, He said, I'm come for the children of Israel. She said, help me, Lord. And He went on and said, He said, it's not right for the children's bread to be taken by you. And she said, crumbs from the table is all I'm asking for. She said, does not the dogs get the crumbs that's under the table? And she crawled under the table. Said, I take my place as a dog. A dog! Didn't offend her. She wasn't mad because she's called a Gentile dog. She said, I'll crawl under the table and I'll eat of the crumbs that falls from the children. I'll not sit there. I'll not sit at the table with the other respectable people. I'm just a poor sinner. I'm helpless and hopeless. Lord, God save me. You know what He said to her? He said, so great faith is that? He said, I've never seen. He said, your faith has saved you. You've taken your proper place before me as a dog, as a sinner. The durability of it. Who's it for? It's for beggars. He didn't come to save righteous people. Came to save sinners, poor people that couldn't save themselves. You can save yourself, I got nothing to say to you. You can save yourself, you don't need to save them. But if you're hopeless and helpless like I am, and can't save yourself, oh, you ought to bless God. That this day, it fell upon your ears, that God saves sinners on the basis
and the accomplishment of what His Son did. This then will be His name.